Ashley, my love. I cannot believe you are here. My eyes are blessed by the sight of you. Please, come into my arms.
Mr. Lawrence, you're making me blush.
Your blush just brings the rose of youth to your cheeks. My fingers trace along these cheeks, the cheeks of beauty.
I think we should find our friends. I think they're in the pleasure garden as well, sir. I don't know.
I cannot bear to be away from you for one second longer. You must consent to be my wife.
No, I don't know what my mother would think, and I just... the vapors.
Your mother is of no importance here for this. The most important thing there is.
Yes?
True love.
And?
And also a little bit of racism.
Yeah, that's bad.
The new British drama, 2013 film, Belle.
But it's 2014.
Yeah, well, apparently it came out in 2013.
How will I think now that my mind has been blown?
It's British. We just saw it here. They were like, yeah, Americans don't give a shit about that. And then someone went, Americans are really into big films about racism right now.
Wait a minute, is it 2013 in Britain?
It was when this came out.
What?
See? They're like
double
on
blown.
A whole different time zone or
just
something.
Just like JC last week. Yeah.
Wait, what happened with JC last week? Was he like dancing like it was 2013?
Nice. Maybe.
I kind of want to see what that differential is.
Nobody wants to see that.
It's like
I kind of do.
I just put on my hypercolor shirt and, you know, my moon boots and go, "Woo, it's like 2013. That was 1983." Whatever.
I was kind of imagining him just like he's dancing right now, except without the beard, just the mustache.
I love referencing this like, you know, nostalgia for the 80s when this took place in 1779.
Oh, 1779.
Almost, yeah, that was almost the 80s of the 1700s.
The 1780s were awesome. Remember the 1780s on VH1?
Yeah.
That actually makes a lot of sense. I was a little confused earlier.
Yeah, you thought this was actually the 80s?
Well, I had a pink dress. It was pretty puppy.
Yeah. Well, they were wearing that kind of thing, though.
Yeah,
maybe not with as many, like, things pushing them out.
But, yeah, yeah, we're seeing Cyndi Lauper, obviously. Yeah,
I think, like, at least two John Hughes movies ended with a girl wearing a dress like that at the end of the movie, so.
It's because those dresses are fucking awesome!
But, you know, we can't laugh. This can't be a funny review, because this is serious.
Okay? It is.
This
serious.
Is based on something that happened sort of like what in the movie, but not really.
That's true.
Only a little bit.
There's a phrase that it's historical fiction.
Ah.
This is a period piece.
So, yes, there's a lot of fiction around the thing that the movie is selling itself on, which is ultimately racism is bad.
Racism is bad.
Specifically,
don't marry
slavery
a dick.
Is bad.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, it's not about, like, the Chinese immigrants working on the railroad.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking about the guys who bit the fucking railroads,
Draco
JC.
Malfoy's still a dick.
Yeah, fuck those chinks. I didn't say that. That was edited in later by Brian, just so you know. This involves is the story of Dido Bell.
Dido
Bell. Dido. Sounds like dildo. I like that better. No, Dido Bell.
It'd be a different
movie. I can't take you guys anywhere. I take you to one classy movie.
I'm a child. I'm sorry. She was the illegitimate... I guess you can't say mulatto anymore. Can you really not say mulatto anymore?
I don't know.
I always thought mulatto sounded like a pretty word. And I was like, really? Is that racist? That's a shame. That's a pretty word.
I mean, it's better than, like, halfy or something.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah.
Up as often anymore.
Or high yellow, I guess, is the other one.
Yeah.
Say. Like, that's gross. Why would you say that?
I never heard that one.
Yeah, that's not good.
Okay.
But she was the daughter of a Royal Navy officer. Right in the beginning of the movie, we see when she's a little girl, and he comes in all, like, big anime eyes, brimming with tears. Like, you're my daughter. I loved your mom, but now she's dead. But you'll never have to suffer again, for I am rich as fuck.
And yeah,
I am
like, going loaded.
To, despite the inappropriateness of the time, bring you back to my family, and I'm going to say, look, family, this is my daughter. She's going to inherit all my shit, and you guys got to treat her like she's not half black.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is my hot daughter. my apologies, you're all British. Yeah. And she's beautiful.
Yeah.
Essentially, this is my daughter. I love her so much. We're going to take good care of her. You guys take care of her. Bye.
Yeah.
See you later. In his defense, I believe he was a captain in the Royal Navy, and so he got shipped out and then unfortunately passes, and Belle has to then kind of navigate her way through the sort of... I don't know. I guess it's aristocracy, but really just the high-class late 18th century British hierarchy.
Yes.
Social hierarchy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's complicated by a lot of different things. The family in question, Tom Wilkinson being the patriarch, who's wonderful in this, like he is in everything.
Yeah, he's really good.
In a complicated situation himself, because he's basically the second most powerful person in England. He's like the head Supreme Court judge, if you will.
Yeah.
Has more power than almost anybody. And it's a little bit it's untoward to have this woman in your house who's half black, who you have to treat as one of the family, who has inherited a lot of money.
She's a rich girl.
She's technically, like, one of the more interesting things the film does is that the irony of the fact that in this family, despite they too are, you know, giving in to some of the racism of the times, like she can't even eat with the family, and yet they're, you know, the white niece they're also taking care of in the family, who has inherited nothing.
Because she's also illegitimate.
Is allowed to eat with the family and do things at formal events and stuff, even though she's really, like, even by that society's terms at that point, somewhat worthless.
Mm-hmm.
The daughter is worth, you know, the equivalent of millions and millions of dollars today.
Yeah.
They still have to kind of shuffle off to the background. Go, okay, no. It's not cool. And a lot of this focuses on that relationship, I think, between Lady Elizabeth, her half-sister, played by the lovely Sarah Gadon. Gadon? Yeah. Gadon? I don't know. Get on, get off, whatever.
I only know my mythical names.
I was looking at her, I was like, where do I know her from? It's Cosmopolis is one of the things I saw her in, unfortunately, but still. I thought this lead actress, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, I'm taking my best guess here, did a really terrific job in this lead
role
here.
Me too! I thought she did a wonderful job.
She is... It's funny how many characters in here, how many actors they hired with really huge eyes.
Yeah, I was going to say, she does the big eyes welling up with tears thing, like, really well.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, everybody in this movie does, but
almost
she does.
Every scene with her, she's, like, looking at awe at something.
Yeah.
And her eyes are welling up in tears. I thought this was Godzilla again. It's like, where's Ken Watanabe to go? Wait, I can explain that.
Yeah, joking aside, those are heartbreaking eyes.
Yeah,
they're huge and watery.
You might recognize her from Doctor Who. She was on like a 4-episode run on there. But things get more important than they seem. Like, at first I'm like, this is really Pride and Prejudice with like a little bit of like bringing into the caste system being half black. It's kind of got that kind of feel to it. But eventually the film gets back around to, you know, okay, let's go to the real historical shit that's actually important, which is that there was a slave ship and the people threw all the slaves overboard and they were trying to get insurance for them as basically like they were their property.
Yeah.
Because they're claiming they ran out of water and that it was either the black people or the white people. And so, of course, the black people have to go at the time. And this case that's brought in front of Tom Wilkinson is like, was it fraud? Are they lying? Is there some other reason going on here? And that this would set eventually a precedent for leading eventually, of course, to the abolition of slavery in real life. And there's a lot of controversy about this on either side. There's a lot of characters who come in who feel one way or the other. Of course, Belle is very, you know, as she starts actually learning about what's actually going on, becomes very motivated into learning what's the deal here. Like, she was always raised in this, like, very, you know, what's the name of it? Like a birdcage.
Yeah, it's gilded, very sheltered.
Cage.
Yeah.
You know, like this very comfortable existence. But barely ever seeing anyone from the outside, much less slaves anywhere.
Yeah. That was kind of a fascinating turn, like her wanting to learn more about like her culture and the people she came from and just kind of the plight that she never really understood or was a part of.
And even though I felt like the guy that eventually kind of leads her towards... like learning about this, the way that, you know, to get the film audience like, oh yeah, get angry. The actor Sam Reed here, Australian born British actor who plays John Devinier, he did a really good performance and I really liked him in it, but when they're using him for the purpose of a love triangle, because there's another guy who's a rich guy who has a title and the family's like, oh, you should totally marry that guy. We don't know
why. And he's not that hot and he's wearing a wig like, and this guy's super hot and has like a ponytail to like piss off his dad.
He has like a little like subtle but hot scar.
Yeah.
He's got that little thing. I was like, you seriously gave him, well, you got a guy intentionally. He's got that little like, you could be Wolverine scar going on there.
Well, you know, and it's funny too because as I'm watching this, I'm like, oh great, a white guy is going to lead her to understanding. Thank God he was there. But then another part of me was like, yeah, he's pretty hot. I'd bone him too.
Well, they did a good job at their relationship and building,
I think they did too.
Building the way that they actually become genuinely friends and her sort of understanding, you know, the disparity of the situation with this family that all things considered treated her extremely well. And she knows it, but yet is still aware of the fact that even they, the other big actress there being Emily Watson playing the lady of the house, even they are treating her with a degree of like, you know, standoffishness.
Yeah.
You know, her learning that there's a bigger world out there and what these differences, why they're important is pretty good. But I gotta admit, like I said, that love triangle stuff was really kind of cloying for me. It felt kind of Harlequin romance-y.
Yeah, which is what we go to these for. I really liked it.
You say we as if that included me.
You loved it. Yeah, I don't know. So this is, of course, coming from somebody who cites Pride and Prejudice as my favorite book.
I actually am a huge fan of Pride and Prejudice, for the record.
Yeah, I really love it. So that didn't really bother me. I will say it got, and this is something we were kind of talking about a little bit earlier, I think the screenplay suffered a little in the dialogue, and it got a little preachy. I almost think that if they had left it, the kind of message around the role of race and gender in the society a little less heavy-handed, it might have even been more impactful.
Yeah.
But one thing I did really like is, so Elizabeth, who is the white cousin, they're having a conversation because they're taken to London. They're coming out and they're trying to get husbands. And
by coming out, it does not mean they're gay.
Yeah.
Be clear.
In the 1780s way, not in the,
woo, girl, let's go to a rave.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just hugs in the bathroom. It's not that big of a deal.
Was being a lesbian in the 1780s.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They shared beds.
True.
Would have been a lot easier.
Yeah, there was never a lot of kissing between the girls, which I felt was a major flaw in this film.
Yeah, kind of missing.
Yeah.
You know what? I'd watch that.
I'd watch it too.
Yeah. I'm glad we're all on the same page.
Yeah, we're all on the same page. We'd all watch that.
Same page haircut.
But yeah, one thing I really liked is where the dialogue suffered in other places, agreed in the love triangle. Like, that doesn't bother me inherently, but the dialogue was kind of rough.
Yeah.
I thought the exchanges between the two girls were pretty genuine and really interesting and nice. And something that was kind of cool is that the white cousin is still an illegitimate daughter. She doesn't stand to inherit anything. And so she says to Belle that she feels like men's property. And it starts Belle sort of thinking about how in some ways she sees it as lucking out her freedom in two ways. First, because she was born black in a society where you'd be a slave there, and she got sideways around that. And then also because her inheritance is so large from her dad's estate that she doesn't have to become someone's property as their wife either. And it built an amount of sympathy so that when later Elizabeth gets a little bitchy, Belle's able to see past it. And I don't know. I really liked those scenes with them.
I actually agree with you.
Yeah.
What do you think, JC?
I agree with a lot of what Ashley said. The script issues aside, it's a pretty generically written script, I thought. It's almost as if, you know, there's different screenwriting classes and there's one there's got to be one class that focuses just on British screenwriting. And everything in that textbook was thrown on this screen. But yeah, I liked the interactions between Dido and Lady Elizabeth, the two cousins. That felt, because you saw, even though you didn't see it develop from childhood to adulthood, you saw it at least start. And in kind of a montage-y feel, you saw just kind of quickly grow up, and it always feels genuine, the love that those characters have for each other. I'm not usually a fan of kind of British dramas, but
still found that there was enough here to keep it going.
Yeah, the premise of this had me intrigued, which is why I wanted to see it, and I think there was enough here that kind of kept me interested.
Yeah, the story is super interesting. Yeah. Like, I didn't know anything about this.
That's the thing me neither. The story is so much more interesting than I felt like what they built around the story.
Totally. And they had a lot of great actors that they really could have teased out something better.
Everybody's Miranda Richardson is in this as well, is really good. Penelope Wilton, who you'll probably recognize, you'll see her and you go, where do I know her from? And she's in like everything Edgar Wright does, pretty much. Yeah, like you've seen her in a bunch of, she plays Sean's mom and John's dad. Yeah. Yeah.
That's who she'll always be to me, Mum.
Yeah. and she was the upstairs neighbor in Spaced.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the drunken...
ended too soon, but we already talked about that.
It really did end too soon. One of the funnier appearances in here is, to me, was Tom Felton, who, of course, is Draco Malfoy in the Harry Potter series, who, once again, is playing a villainous little shit here.
Just the look on his face? I feel bad for him, but it works.
He's a perpetual sneer. He's just like, he can't lose it.
He has a resting sneer face, like some people have a resting bitch face.
He kind of does. Like, the moment you see him, you're like, oh, Tom.
Yeah.
You're going to be the bad guy, aren't you?
Even though there's nobody in this movie named Potter, you just kind of expect him to go, Potter.
Yeah. Except he says, the N-word that way.
Yeah. It's very pestilent.
Yeah.
Very.
But let's go to final thoughts and start with Ashley.
Yeah, so I do have to agree that the script fell a little bit flat of the story that was here, but it just seems like such a rich story. Overall, though, as a period piece, I really liked it. I loved all the outfits and, of course, all the sets. I thought they did a wonderful job. I really liked the exchanges between the two girls. I thought those were really good. I liked the way that, even though I think it got a little heavy-handed with some of the messaging around equality and such, I like that it never lost its sense of humor. There were some really good exchanges that I think fans of something like Pride and Prejudice would like. There were a few instances where there were some really kind of like good exchanges, witty witticisms between the characters, and I thought that was a lot of fun. I don't know. Overall, I liked it. I found it wholly enjoyable to watch, and it was not without its moving moments, and it might have been those giant eyes, to be honest.
There are some big fucking eyes in this movie. Between Gugu and Sam Reed, they're like, both are just like, is this about to become Ghost in the Shell?
If my heart doesn't break right now, am I a dick? Don't answer that, you two.
I'm not.
Okay,
going
good.
To.
Yeah.
You are a dick.
That's fair. Fair. Okay, let's see. I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 London baths.
Sure. I'd like a London bath. Wait, what is that? Is that something gross like a Dirty Sanchez?
Oh, well, it's where boys like you go to come out.
JC.
there's a lot here to like. Great performances all around. Some generic writing, but I think the writing is, it all comes from a good place, and its intent is not, salacious or anything. It wants to tell a good story, and it just kind of suffers a little bit in the writing, but I think everything else it delivers, it hits on that level. The girl who plays Dido, does a really good job. Everyone in here does a pretty good job. The story really interested me, and I didn't know the full scope of the story until I saw the film. And, I'm kind of glad it ended up being a little bit more than just a simple, love story, or than just kind of a simple story of a family accepting one black person. So this was an interesting story. Something I really liked. I liked a little bit more than I thought I would going in. And I would say 6 out of 10. British Parliament wigs.
And there are a lot of those. Did you see that one dude at one point who had one that was like split down the middle?
Yeah.
And it was like two big tufts sticking out. He looked like one of the wigs that like in Amadeus that Mozart would have worn.
It gives birth to some of the smaller wigs.
It's one of those crazy, funny things. Like, yeah. Whenever I see one of those in a movie, I'm always reminded that they still wear those today.
Like, yes, they do.
Really weird. Oh, like, man. Yeah.
I mean, I realize you guys have changed a lot of stuff, but that's not something you're willing to let go.
Yeah.
Seriously?
I bet do they still powder them?
I bet you like 9 out of 10 lawyers would go, you know, if you put it to a vote, would be like, yeah, let's fucking lose the wigs already.
Well, and ridiculous. They get heated in their sessions.
Yeah,
like, how often
sweaty.
Do they come off? Do you think that one of them ever walks up to the other one and just pulls it off, throws it out the window, Elaine Bennis style?
That's totally happening. You talk about like, all right, so like violence rarely happens anymore in the United States Congress. But it used to happen a lot. There were occasions where, I forget who it was, but one dude beat to like hospitalization another dude with a cane at one point in the United States.
Yeah, because now our congressmen are pussies.
But like us compared to the British, no, these guys get way more animated in Parliament, way more angry.
It's all those eel pies, dude. Fights. They'd piss you off too. Who wants to eat an eel pie?
Well, anyway, what I thought was, is a kind of a mixture between you two. I think the original story here is really good. I think there's some moments here that transcend the pushing it a little on the broad dialogue. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like this needed somebody to go back over the script and go, this was just a little too generically both romance novel and racism is bad.
Like, no one uses this word, guys.
Very sort of, you know, felt like something that would have been on TV in the 70s about racism. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this is an important liberal drama at points. But there are some, the performances really outshadow a lot of that. They're so good. And like I said, the core story is a little is fascinating. Just know that the stuff around it, all the love stuff, is primarily made up bullshit to sell this movie to like chicks who were like in the audience with us who were going, oh no, you didn't, and saying things like that throughout. It's like, are you kidding me right now? Serious? They're trying to make a populist, you know, film about racism. Yeah.
How weird was it that was one of the smaller promo crowds, and yet that was one of the rowdiest in a British drama?
Yeah.
Anyway,
of all things. But I found there were even moments that I got a little teary-eyed at points. I was like, okay, you got me. You got me on that one. You know, and you got somebody, an actor like Tom Wilkinson in anything. You're like, okay, you got to give it. He wouldn't have even been in this if it didn't have something there that was worth telling. Oh, yeah, except they paid him.
He just wanted to wear the wig.
I love wigs. I just can't stand it. I just love wigs.
He has a button he presses. His closet flips around.
He's actually going to be starring in Hedwig on the West End. So. No, he's not. But that would be cool, wouldn't it? An old Hedwig. I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 future suffragettes.
Man, I just, in a week when that Adam Sandler movie came out, you know, God bless you, Belle, for balancing the universe.
Right? You like, I feel slightly more whole.
I feel like I was liberated from this week's crap.
Right. I feel like we are suffering under the onus of a terrible injustice in our society.
Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.